Let's get to our guest now. Thomas Pulowek is head of Asia Multi-Asset Solutions APAC at T. Rowe Price, joining us on the line from Singapore. Thomas, always great to talk to you. I mean, we are looking at these increasing chances of a global recession, the UK turmoil, as we heard earlier from the Fed's Raphael Bostic, not helping. And as Brian mentioned, this Ned Davis research seeing a 98% chance of a looming global recession. It kind of begs the question of how deep this is going to be and how do you hide here?
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Judith. So, look, on the recession risk, it's true that if you look at certain indicators like the PMI, market returns, as well as the yield curve, you get to that 90% probability of recession. But then if you throw in the labor market and the low level of leverage that we see globally, you get a probability that is much lower. So I guess we can be negative given what is going on in the market and the level of volatility. And definitely we have been positioned conservatively in our portfolio. But we have also to keep in mind that there are some green aspects of the economy with the labor market and the low level of leverage. So it's something that we are monitoring closely, still a volatile market, still being defensive, but we also play offense with some part of our portfolio through emerging market, for example, or high yield.
One of the hedge fund managers that we interviewed at Bloomberg, Anne Bernard from Wincrest, says, I don't think it's time to be a hero, just want to survive the year and end up. In that case, do you see more allocation towards cash, towards safe havens?
Look, safe havens have been hard to find this year, definitely. So it has been more about protecting assets through dynamic future-based strategies or using cash, as you said. We have a limited amount of cash these days. We try to make that cash work harder by investing into high yield, which is typically well-placed in the early stage of recovery, given the low level of leverage that I mentioned before. So that's a way to allocate your cash and take a bit more risk for sure, but also to have a higher yield. So for income investor, that can be attractive. We can see also that some of markets, especially in emerging market and in Asia, the worst has been priced in already. So it's difficult to see earnings revision going even lower. It's difficult also to imagine central banks tightening more. In fact, most of the central banks in Asia are considering easing. So we see that there are pockets of opportunity here and there, but at a high level, we agree that it's not the time to be a hero. And we have a conservative allocation for now. So we are monitoring how markets are going down, and there will be a time where you have to start buying.
When it comes to the Asia picture, though, I mean, King Dollar very much wreaking havoc with all of these currencies falling to multi or record lows. Are you worried that we could see a similar scenario to what we saw in 1997?
Not a base case, but definitely the pace of appreciation is something to keep an eye on. It's hard to take any view on the currencies right now, except this long dollar that has been king for the past month. I have to say that what is key is to monitor the volatility of the rate market, defining and estimating what would be the terminal rates of central banks is what the market is grappling with. So looking at an indicator like the MOVE index is something to watch for, to get also direction on the currency market.
We're talking about King Dollar and the crisis level potentially amongst Asian currencies. When it comes to the yuan, that plunge near a 14-year low, how much more pushback do you expect from the PBOC?
Look, the PBOC is not trying to reverse a trend from a depreciation to an appreciation. I think what the PBOC is concerned about is a pace of depreciation. So that's what they have been trying to do come up with some rules that are preventing more outflows from the countries. So monitoring the pace of depreciation. But if you look at the yuan versus US dollar, but versus the trade weighted index, the yuan has been pretty flat or even stronger. So I guess what they are trying to monitor is the competitiveness, and depreciation is expected going forward.
When it comes to the overall China story, we are expecting those PMIs to continue to show further weakness. As we have Chengdu, though, lifting its lockdown, is there hope for growth stabilization? And I guess what kind of positive momentum are we expecting to see if we do see an easing from COVID zero after the party congress?
Look, the consensus on the easing of the dynamic zero COVID policy is more looking at Q2 2023 now. So I'm not expecting any lift or any positive surprise after the party congress. But I guess the mood and the expectations are already pretty dire when looking at China. So it's more what is priced in and whether, if you look at 6 to 12 months going forward, things will be improving in China. And that's what we are looking at, is the improvement from the current situation is very likely, especially if you have a 12-month horizon. And that's why we have been quite modestly positive on Chinese assets, looking at an improvement in earnings, looking at especially in sectors like electric vehicles, the green transition, and also the automation in manufacturing.
You say more broadly, a lot of the bad news has been priced in Asia. Where are you looking for further upside? We talked to a lot of people who are looking at the likes of Thailand, India. Are they on your radar too?
They are, but I guess the upside from now is perhaps limited, although we would still favoring Southeast Asia versus North Asia. We are still in a way living in the post-COVID distortion world. And Taiwan and Korea, for example, were big beneficiaries of this buying of goods that we saw during COVID. So they are perhaps going forward struggling more than the Southeast Asia, where they are benefiting from the reopening and the services. But the reopening is quite gradual. And until we see China being able to reopen their borders, the tourism industry, we're not really being a big lift for Thailand, for example. So maybe waiting a couple of months to make big bets on Thailand and Southeast Asia will be how we position there. So for now, we are quite broadly invested into it.
Okay, one reopening story that we're all excited about is Japan, and then you've got that very weak yen too, which bodes well for Japanese equities. Tell us a little more as to why you're overweight Japanese stocks.
Yeah, that's something we discussed very recently. So as you said, the weak yen at some stage starts to become a tailwind for the exporters. And at the same time, we see commodity prices going down because of the expectation of a weak economic growth environment. So this could be really a very unique situation in this world right now, where Japan has a still accommodative policy, still a very weak currency, lower commodity prices, and typically this bodes well for Japanese companies to do well in that environment.
All right, so overweight Japanese stocks, overweight high yield. Thomas, we thank you as always for your insights. Thomas Polowek is head of multi-asset solutions at T. Rowe Price on the line for us from Singapore here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.